Good morning, MGTOW man. Screen brightness isn't so fucking fantastic, but that's a nice young crop of fucking canola. It's absolutely beautiful. It's what they used to call rape, until rape became a dirty word. You know, oh rape, you know. But yeah. Quite nice. There's enough fucking wind around today. There's enough wind to blow the air out of the atmosphere. What am I doing? Well, it's this is why I have been decidedly undecided, because in the open plains, in the open plains of Australia, you get sort of mixing between the polar winds and the fucking semi-tropical winds, you know? And so the prevailing winds are sort of averaging about westerly, and the and so you get, in the summertime you tend to get sort of northwesterly to northerly, and in the wintertime you tend to get sort of southwesterly to southerly, you know. And in the springtime, autumn, sort of mid-autumn, start of autumn, you know, February, March, April, sort of around there, May, you tend to get really strong sort of seasonal sort of winds where the winter's coming in, and then in the fucking, you know, July, August, September, you know, October, you tend to get, the bursts of fucking really strong spring winds, you know. And if you put your car up on stands, if it's not in a sheltered position from the prevailing winds, it'll blow off the fucking stands. It can get strong enough to just blow bins down the street, you know, the wheelie bins, you know. Easy. So, you know, but I figured a way to deal with that, you know, the other way, you know, how you get ships on, they put them up on fucking a big row of blocks underneath the keel, you know, wooden blocks, big fucking chunks, you know, but they also put props on the side, you know, down the side of the ship. So I thought, well, the best way to deal with this is to put it up on car stands, and if I want to live it up there, say for 4 or 5 days or whatever, and prop it, you know, so the really strong winds don't blow the car off the stands, you know, like sidewards mostly, you know, and that's a good thing. Yeah, I was having a moment of sort of pleasure and a moment of sort of pain, you know what I mean? Today is Father's Day, like every day is actually Father's Day, as far as I'm concerned. And God, you know, and the wisdom of the years is that my father, I don't think he was a genuinely terrible human being, but he came from a family that was pretty fucking terrible. It created lots of really fucking damaged people. And he could only sort of express himself in what he'd seen and heard and learned, you know? So, you know, dear old Dad wasn't into molesting us or anything like that. But he was just an unrepentant cunt. He was just always antagonising the children and starting fights and all this fucking shit, you know, and drinking and stuff. And, you know, so we kids, especially when you start to sort of approach sort of puberty and independence and sort of leaving the nest kind of thing at around about 10, 11, 12 kind of thing, those sorts of ages, you know, thing was that everybody in the family plotted to kill him, you know. He was just such an unrepentant bastard, you know, he just wouldn't stop antagonising us children. So, and there's a difference between being shit-stirring and being nice about it, you know what I mean? And being actually just fucking nasty. You know? So, yeah, so I thought, well, I can I sort of, you know, went and did a sort of heap of fucking therapy just to sort of get over the fucking crap that was going on in my family. And it took a lot of work. And what came out of it was the what was it? Yeah, there's a book called Toxic Parents by Dr. Suzanne Ford and Craig Buck. Now, the book was an exceptionally fucking brilliant book. And if you can get a hold of a copy, buy it in hardcover, because it's the book that you can continue to sort of work on and sort of provide years of sort of insights and useful fucking stuff, you know. And I came across a copy of that when I was about a year and a third drug free. I'd been living in sin with a woman who was about 38 and I was about 23, and we lived in sin for 2 years. And I can jest about it because it was quite a lot of sin. But, you know, both damaged, really damaged people. And her mother was a fucking geriatric dry drunk who was exactly like my father, you know. You could have given her mother and my father a fucking brain, just swap their brains over, and you really wouldn't have been able to pick the difference, you know? except Dad wouldn't normally sit down to pee. But, so, you know, yeah, what a life. And so I read that, a bit of it, and then ended up buying my own copy. I should actually buy another copy for myself just for Father's Day, you know. But I read it, say, like once a year for about five more years, and I was so far fucking gone that that first reading gave a little bit of a foundation, you know what I mean? Tiny little bit of a foundation. And the second time, you know, and that sort of sank in, and I was able to process it, and then about a year or so later when I reread it, I was able to build up a little bit more, you know what I mean? And so on and so forth. And the fifth time round, I actually used it as a workbook, and I wrote out all the questions, and I did all my answers with pictures and drawings and, you know, written stuff and, you know, all this. And that was very, very good. And I've still got all that stuff today, actually. I've kept it. And, yeah, so what happened with that is I was able to draw up limits, set limits for fucking how far I was going to go and how far I'd let them, I'd permit them to go. And, yeah, and that was a very exciting sort of thing because I just sort of said, my father, you know, I left a message on my answering machine saying, rah! Oh, got a bit of a sort of throat thing, but I can't do the high-pitched sort of parrot thing like, rah! Pieces of meat, pieces of meat, leave a message, rah! You know, on my answering machine. So this old cunt would ring up. So just like my mother, this old cunt, you know. So anyway, this old cunt would ring up and say, oh, I've never heard such fucking piffle in all my life. What sort of fucking message is that? You know, and I put it to him. I said, you know, this is how it's going to go from now on, Dad. You know, you're not going to fucking ring up and give me shit about anything that I choose to do or how I choose to do it, you know. It's not your fucking place. And it's about time you learned how to mind your own fucking business. So I said, I want you to go to AA and sort your shit out, you know. And, he, of course, completely ignored all that. And he continued to be a fucking malignant sort of cunt, you know. And, I have a half-sister who's about nearly sort of 10 years older than me, and, you know, see, my father was the sort of person that if you were seriously injured, and I mean really seriously injured, like you just got both your legs cut off, the cunt would, you know, give you a hard time about getting a band-aid, you know what I mean, and then he'd ask you to, he'd demand you leave the money on the fridge on the way out, you know what I mean? True, you know, fuck. And yeah, just flashing back to the night that I had the crash at about 170k an hour, just, you know, standing there going into shock. And, anyway, so, yeah, so that joke about, you know, leave, you know, about, you know, having to fight to the death just for a fucking band-aid and then having to leave the money on the fridge, that was the level of fucking mean-spirited, that's just sort of like about how bad he really was, you know. And, in the words of my mother, he was as mean as cat shit with his money. And so anyway, what I did is I drew up new rules. I said, no ringing me up, no giving me fucking shit for anything I do or how I do it. It's none of your, this is not your place. And it's not your place to be doing that sort of shit, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, they're going to knock it off. Or, I mean, you know, yeah, they're going to knock it off and go to fucking AA and sort your shit out. Or I'm ending the relationship. And, yeah, this older half-sister. So to illustrate that, you know, how mean my father was, even medically, you know what I mean? He just so tight with fucking money, you know? And, so for him to be saying this older half-sister was in deep shit, you know, for him to be saying, oh, she's in a bad way, that really meant something, you know what I mean? That's not like... That's kind of like she's been run over by a concrete truck, cut in half, and she's got like 3 minutes left to live type, you know, kind of... That's the sort of magnitude of what that... Oh, she's in a bad way. That's the sort of... magnitude of what that sort of stuff is, you know, of her predicament, kind of, you know what I mean? And so I said, can you give us her number, you know? And then this cunt, playing these really fucking mean mind games, this absolute fucking cunt. You know, when things are going really bad for her, you know, for my only family, you know, for my only member of my family, you know what I mean, that I can contact, you know, that's contactable. He then turned around and said, oh, maybe she doesn't want you to have it. And I thought, you fucking cunt, you fucking low-life fucking cunt, playing these really cruel head games, you know, really fucking cruel and nasty. And it's at that point I just said, I've just had enough of your shit. You know, you've kept making a cunt of yourself. You haven't done anything about cleaning up your act, and you're continuing on with the usual, you know, all-time fucking nastiness, you know, the all-time fucking head games and nastiness and all this sort of shit. You've just continued right on with this fucking crap, haven't missed a beat, and the undertaking was, you know, the rules for our relationship, the new rules for our relationship is you don't give me fucking shit. And you don't give me a hard time. So, you know, here's your march. Oh, I'm ending this relationship. These are your marching orders. Goodbye. And so I didn't see him for another 25 fucking years, 26 years or something, you know. I didn't see him again. Just one day a letter arrived in the mail saying, from a lawyer saying, dear so-and-so, regarding your deceased father's estate, you know. And that was about 10 years ago, I think, 8, 9, 10 years ago, you know. And, you know, it's taken a lot of reflection and time and that, you know. And I think it's really important to not... Oh, what's the word? Yeah, it's all that, doing all that really fucking nasty stuff all the time. That's what led all of us kids to want to kill him, you know. You know, coming up 9, 10, 11 years old, you know, the only thought's, how do you get this fucking cunt off your case, you know? Kill him, you know. And, you know... And when you get children murdering their parents, sometimes those kids are genuinely fucking nuts, you know what I mean? They are just, you know, you keep the carving knives in a locked drawer with pick-proof locks, you know. You know, or you put them in an institution for the criminally sort of insane, you know. But a lot of times when children murder their parents, it's because the parents genuinely deserve it. You know, they've done what it takes to fucking earn it. You know? And, yeah, so, you know, here was this old cunt driving a fucking wedge. When my sister was really up shit creek and I would have liked to have connected with her, he decided rather than facilitating the process of connecting and communicating, he decided to hammer a big fucking wedge in between us, you know, and stop that from happening. So, the thing about all of this is not to stick people, not to idolise them, and not to fucking, you know, with no flaws. One end of the spectrum is to idolise them and they have no flaws and they are the most perfect parent ever. And the other side of the thing, they are the worst piece of shit on the face of the fucking earth. Now, it's taken a long time to sort of understand all these things. Oh yeah, we got guests. Quickly, we will hasten. Yeah, back to good morning, MGTOW men. Back to the father discussion. Yeah, so what? What? What the thing is to form a sort of congruent and cohesive sort of picture that is an honest assessment, you know, and it's not to elevate him into the stages of fucking nascent celestiality, and it's not to sort of condemn him universally and absolutely. That's to say, this man had a fucking whole range of ways of expressing himself, and a small percentage of stuff he did really well, you know, for considering how fucking damaged and how crazy he was. He actually did a good job. He tried. He tried to be a father, and he tried to do father-son things. And he wasn't a total write-off, but he tended to sort of fail miserably. You know? And I'm kind of just like him in some ways, you know. The issue of being so fucking tight-assed. So I bought some banana bread. Or some banana. some banana bread and some thickened cream. That's me having Father's Day. And his dad, hello Shane, how are you? So, you know, that's like my Father's Day type thing, you know. But as he was very damaged, and I think he was just like a 3 to 5 year old emotionally, who lived in an old man's body and life. He really couldn't deal with a lot of stuff. And God, I just sort of reflecting upon my patterns of fucking craziness, you know, always starting stuff and never finishing it, you know what I mean? But yeah, so dear old dad, it's important not to stick them up on pedestals, and it's not to universally condemn them. It's to perform a fair assessment of them as people and of as parents, you know. And so what dear old dad did was I think he really tried to be a father, and he just didn't know how, you know what I mean? Because he'd never had a lot of it parenting himself, you know? Or a lot of really inadequate sort of parenting from his own father. You know, and his own father was, I've heard a few tales about him. You know? And the general consensus was that his own father wasn't very good, you know? He was a real bastard, you know what I mean? And you can sort of see how my father's brothers and sisters all grew up, and they were either fucking piss pots, crazies, or they married them, you know? And, you know, and their kids, my cousins were either addicts or they're fucking absolute neurotics. Or, you know, well, they married them. And, unbelievable. You know? Just psycho fucking assholes, some of my cousins, you know. And they were like, a couple of them. I forget who was who, you know. But one of my father's sisters, they had a couple of kids, a few kids. At least two that I know of that were my cousins, and they were like, I think his sister, one of his sisters, was like about 10 years older than him. And then he had, you know, so they had kids, you know, that were sort of like 10 years. And then my old man had kids, had me. And that was like, you know, when he was like 30-ish sort of thing. And my mother was in the young 20s, very early 20s. And so that meant that I had cousins that were 20 years older than me. And I should have put my foot down in the family pecking order, saying, listen, you lowly fucking scum. You lowly scum interlopers. How dare you talk down to me? I'm higher in the family hierarchy and the fucking pecking order than you. I'm a fucking Hanson. You crossbred fucking dolts. You can do that when you're, you know. You can do that when you're like 'Tastes a little bit stale. You can do that when you're like somewhere between 9 and 13. And they're like 33, 35. Fuck, they were just neurotic, nasty cunts. Oh, Shane used the F words. We don't want him coming around here. You know. Oh, our fucking retarded daughters, his second cousins, who were, one was my age, and another one was about, I think, 4 years older. Oh my God, he said the F word, my ears are bleeding, mummy. And, so, fuck, they were always so neurotic and so fucking nasty. You know? I never liked people that did that sort of, oh, we're better than you because, and, oh, I'm so offended because you did this or you did that. So therefore, you know, the parents were cunts and fucking, you know? They weren't family. Biologically, they were related, but they weren't family. They were just cunts on, cunts out on another fucking, you know. So, thanks, Dad. But anyway, I remember many years ago, I hadn't seen, because I wanted to connect with everybody in my family, drug-free, getting a life, you know. And I wanted to connect with all these people. And so I went and saw them. You know, and I had an old Harley that I built from the ground up. It was made from, I think the engine was 1935. And so, things of that era had a tendency to drip oil. And plenty of it. Self-oiling chains, you know. Automatic chain oilers. And so I turn up And this boy cousin, there's a brother and sister, but the boy cousin, he was like Jeffrey. And yeah, their lawn was like as if they walked around with fucking a pair of nail scissors, you know, and they cut every fucking piece of grass to the exact right length, you know, and, you know, if one piece of grass is 1 millimetre too high and another piece of grass is 1 millimetre too low, then they have to do the whole thing again so it's all the exact same height, you know. Anyway, his fucking cousin was teaching mechanics at a fucking high school or a higher education type thing, automotive mechanics, you know. And so you'd see oil spills everywhere, you know, it's just part and parcel of the job, so you just wipe it up. So I've gone all the way over there to visit them, and Mahali left fucking few spots of oil, just, you know, a couple of little fucking spots. No big deal. And as I'm about to go, he goes, oh, you got to clean up those oil spots? You got to clean up those oil spots, you know? So I'm on the motorbike. I reversed it out and I'm about to take off and he starts coming at me with that shit. And, why would I have rags in my pocket, you know, like, you know? Oh, yes, I'm going to get some, you know, super cement shine, a bottle of super cement shine and make your fucking concrete as pretty as your face, you know? If he had had any fucking brains and good manners and wasn't such a neurotic cunt. It was wonderful to see you. Do come again, you know, la 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 la. And as soon as I'd gone, he could have just pulled out a little bit of rag and wiped it up, you know, no big fucking deal. But he has to basically try and start a fight then and there as I, you know, a guest comes and visits you, you know. And there's two or three drops of fucking oil on the concrete and he has to start fighting about it. Fuck, and just a neurotic cunt. And anyway, so on this day, the 1st of August, in the foul year of our Lord, 2024, I'm celebrating Father's Day with my imaginary father, who's sitting here beside me. Boy. And having a bit of banana cake. So, you know, over the years, the little bits of awareness have sort of popped into sort of into evolved and also popped into existence and sort of, you know, he really did try hard, you know, not very hard at all, but as hard as he could have done fucking shit in some respects. A lot of parents would do a fucking lot better, absolutely, but as damaged as he was, he still tried to be a father, you know, he still tried to sort of, you know, look after me. He still tried to fucking have a meal, you know, just boiled cabbage that had the shit boiled out of it, and, you know, pretty meagre sort of pickings, you know. And I never turned up to parent teacher night, never fucking helped me with a, you know, to ask him to help you with the homework turned into a major all in brawl just about, you know. You know, and I mean, he was so tight-fisted to the point of being really damaging, you know what I mean, when I was 17 or 18, and, you know, he could have bought me a fucking, you know, he could have said, look, I'll buy you a car for your birthday, a decent second-hand one, and, you know, and I'll let you pay it off, you know. If the car was $1,000, you know, he could have said, look, I'll let you pay it off $100 a month, you know. But he didn't. He never did fucking anything like that, you know. I don't mean it's whether you get a birthday card or not. It's not that. That's not the point. It's the doing of these things, the little considerations, the thoughtful little actions, and all these other sorts of stuff. That was basically more or less completely absent, you know. So, you know, and he did take me out camping a couple of times, and, you know, he'd cheapskated it so badly, it was just really fucked, you know what I mean? It was just no fun at all, and, you know, he wouldn't take me anywhere or do anything or go see things and spend time together. It was just, you know, misdemeanors catch it with his, you know, saving 5 cents on everything, and, you know, down, just, why can't we camp in a nice place that's sheltered with toilets and fucking, you know, showers and shit nearby, like a caravan park for a weekend, you know? It's not that much, you know? Oh God, you look at how you treat yourself, and then you go, fuck, I'm treating myself just like my parents treated me, you know? And, you know, sure, there's advantages to camping on the side of the road in the bush, because you're not spending $120 at night at a fucking, you know, roadside hotel motel thing, you know what I mean? You're not spending $120 a night on the fucking cheap. So 3 nights of that's $360, or you can just, you know, go pull up on the side of the road and park well away from the road and under the bushes and shit, you know what I mean? A good sort of sheltered place, as long as it's not pissing down rain and blowing a fucking gale. Well, that's $360 you still got in your fucking pocket, you know? And you don't have to look pretty and all this sort of shit. You're just travelling from A to B and want to get a night's sleep, you know what I mean? Doesn't matter a fuck how you know, where you dress, it's nice, it's clean, it's outdoors, it's lovely, you know? So I'm not spending $360 on 3 nights at a hotel, plus, you know, $35-$40 a meal, you know? That's like, you know, fucking, say, 4 meals and 3 nights, that's like $450. I've still got that in my pocket, thank you, you know. And, yeah. So, you know, being tight ass to a point can be really fucking good. And it can also be, you know, not to that extreme, but not to all the time, you know what I mean? So he did have his good points. He wasn't universally a fucking absolute cunt. He's pretty close to it, but, you know, he had his good points and he had lots of bad points. And I think it's not, try not to sort of make him a fucking bad human being, but just a really fucked up person who did a lot of really fucked shit, because that's all he knew, that's what he grew up with, and, you know, he couldn't get out of that. He wasn't able to deal with those issues. It was too much. And so because of what he chose not to deal with, he passed all that stuff on to me, and now I'm having to deal with it, and, you know, I chose, said, oh, fuck this, I'm breaking the cycle, you know? You know? So, you know, that's really important. So here am I having my Father's Day, you know, with my fictitious entity of a father. And, hello, Dad. You know? God. It's big stuff. You know, it really is. It's impressive. Well, I'm going to get going because I'm getting fucking hot. Well, I could wind down the window, don't I? But I think I've sort of said enough. You know, try and get a congruent picture that's honest. You know, things that were really good, things that were sort of neither here nor there, you know, or sort of ho-hum. And things that were legitimately shit, you know? That's a process of inventory. All right, guys, thank you. Bye.